Blog Talk Radio. Blog.
Greatly honored and privileged to have Zambia's leading opposition party president, Patriotic Front, Mr. Michael Sata. Mr. Sata doesn't need any introduction to any Zambian. This is a great honor and a great day for us to talk to Mr. Sata and to hear what the PF government will do when they take over power. Mr. Sata, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. You have the diaspora as your audience this afternoon. And let me just say we are greatly honored and privileged for you to take the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
My first question, sir, as we begin this discussion is, I know or we understand your party is finalizing the process of selecting your candidates for both parliamentary and the local government elections. Could you please just share with us what process you used in going through this selection process?
Well, we don't have anything to do with the local organs. The local organs in constituencies, the local organ in wards, they are the ones who are recommending the names of the councillors and the names of MPs. And we just come and have a look at them. Unless we have any other information, we have no choice but to endorse what the local organs have said.
Absolutely. I think you appreciate that that question is important for us to address because there are so many false statements in certain circles of the media. I'm sure you'll agree with me on that.
Well, the point is I totally agree, but in PF, we have a real democracy. where we allow the local organs to exercise their democracy. And we, as the Central Committee, we come and have a look. Unless we have some very serious adverse information, what the people recommend on the local level stands.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that question. Let me mention to our listeners that, like we said, this is a Facebook event. If you need to ask a question to Mr. Sata, please go to our Facebook page and post your question there. Go to our website, zambiablocktalkradio.com, and click on the Facebook icon, and we'll read your question to Mr. Sata. Let me continue our discussion, sir, and ask you this question to say, the PF government, the PF party forming government in the next few weeks, what major differences should we expect in your cabinet in terms of size and structure?
First of all, the current government in the last 20 years, governments have been too large and less effective. We want a smaller, effective government. And our first task is to bring dignity to the Zambian people. Because at the moment, the Zambian people's dignity has been eroded. We have the weakest currency in the world, and yet, before independence, we had the strongest currency in the world. We have the weakest economy, and on the basis of that, poverty continue rising, unemployment continue rising. It is very shameful that we still have the level of formal employment of slightly over 350,000 people, which we had at independence. And yet somebody tells me, we have mines, we have all sorts of things. So those are the difficulties which we have.
Okay. Let's try to, maybe since you've already talked about a weak currency and employment, you have gone on record to say in 90 days you are going to bring a transformation to Zambia. Let's begin with unemployment, sir. What is PF's strategy to deal with this unemployment issue? Because you are a very exposed, traveled man. You know, in any political situation in most of the countries, when they are campaigning, employment is one of the number one issues. What is PF's strategy within the 90 days of taking office to create to deal with unemployment?
Japan, under the sun, has the lowest employment because all their exports benefit the Japanese people. In Zambia has more wealth than the population. And if we utilize the wealth which we have, and the export, the money which we make from these exports come back to Zambia, we should be able to multiply our economy and multiply our development and employ more people than we are employing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
But at the moment, everything we are exporting, the money does not come back to Zambia. If the money does not come back to Zambia, it lacks multiplier effect. So you can only create employment if there is multiplier effect. In the absence of multiplier effect, no employment. You can't get anything.
Okay. What is going to be your relationship? What is PF's policy on foreign investors, number one, and let me also use the word local investors, especially diaspora residents? This is a very crucial question for us, Mr. Sata, because when you look at the current policy, the requirement for anybody to invest in the country is a minimum of $500,000. Now, where am I going to get $500,000? And I cannot compete with multinational companies from China and America.
The point is, your biggest investment is your knowledge, your drive, and your energy. And if you want investment, first of all, investment must benefit. It must benefit the locals. These 500,000 you are talking about, it was an attraction which the government in 1992 put on because they did not want reverse investors after the one-party state.
Yes.
And it is in the same vein where we wanted to say we are creating to create safety to the investors, where we said they can, whatever they export, they can bank offshore. But that thing has passed now. We should be like any other country. And America is what it is because of the Americans. Japan is what it is because of the Japanese. China is what it is because of the Chinese. And in Zambia, we have enough manpower, locally and abroad, whom if we are encouraged, because, for example, at the moment, the current government goes to attract banks from Nigeria. These banks, they don't add any value to the Zambian economy. They just come here to wreck our economy by taking all the foreign exchange because we have no foreign exchange regulations. And yet we are in this country, we had two local banks. We had Finance Bank, which the current government has killed, and then we have Investor Trust. But they don't have the particular support from the government for them to grow like the bigger banks. And even the so-called big banks like Standard Chartered, Barclays Bank, they are limping. They are not as buoyant as we would expect them to be because they cannot be buoyant if they are not going to transact in foreign exchange, if the foreign exchange is kept outside Zambia. Banks will only be buoyant if they can transact in foreign exchange.
Absolutely, sir. Could you share with us what PF's specific policy towards local and diaspora investment policy will look like?
The PF policy is Zambia is for the Zambians. And if Zambians cannot thrive, because Zambians, we will be here with thick and thin, but when now we get the Zambians are looking for so-called green pastures, there are plenty of green pastures in Zambia, and we should encourage the local people. And once we encourage the local people and foreigners alike, but the emphasis must be put that Zambians they might not have the money, but what are the financial institutions there? What is financial institutions are here for? And the government of Manawasa created citizenship empowerment, which has not been benefiting anybody.
Okay, we are talking to
If
Mr.
you look
Michael.
At South Africa...
Yes, sir.
If you look at South Africa, the indigenous people in South Africa are thriving very well. They are doing very well. There are a number of larger companies, mining, industry, and others, and commerce, where these people are surviving.
Excellent. We are talking to Mr. Michael Sata, PF President. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Let me read the first question that has been posted on Facebook, sir. This is from Fred Kasipiri. He says, the issue of disability is one which is not given adequate attention. Buildings are not accessible for wheelchair users. There is no medical insurance, no facilities for rehabilitation, low education opportunities, no pathways in town centers. When you are injured, you are virtually on your own. What does your party intend to do about this?
The point is, all the shortcomings which we are having is where we have put all our eggs in one basket. All our eggs are in Chinese basket, the Indian basket, and now in Nigerian basket. But if we have this investment where Zambia can say this is our own investment, it is out of that investment where you are going to create social services like, you know, you have unproductive side of the economy and productive side of the economy. So education is unproductive. Roads are unproductive. Health is unproductive. But unless you have your own money, because at the moment, we are Western agents because the money doesn't belong to us. The money belongs to China.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let me try for us to zero in as we continue with our questions on this. When it comes to the issue of disability, sir, you yourself saw for yourself the conditions in which the victims of the that accident that happened in Eastern Province a few weeks ago. I mean, what message is a situation like that sending out to the people of Zambia?
What we are saying is, Zambians, all of us are vulnerable. Vulnerable in the sense that the districts, provinces, and the government per se is handicapped. We are not in control of our own situation.
Mm.
And what's the use of having a government when you are not in control? Once you become in control, you have enough money, because today, Mr. Pierre Banda may tell you to say unprecedented the development, but he cannot tell you how much surplus they have, because a government can only survive when there is a surplus fund, which we don't have at the moment. So you find on those bases, we are becoming more vulnerable. We cannot protect our own people. We cannot protect the disasters. We cannot protect disability. We cannot look after our own invalids because we don't have the money. The so-called investment is in the foreign hands. So you don't. If the investment is in foreign hands, you don't have any special funds or special resources to invest in your own people.
Mm. Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines, and I'm going to allow people to ask questions here. Please be brief. Introduce yourself and the area you are calling from and ask your question to Mr. Sata. Please, let's be brief. We have limited time with him, and there are so many people who would like to participate. Let me go to area code 317, the last four digits, 8007. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, President Sata, and I take pride in calling you President. My name is Chanda Chishimba, Indianapolis, Indiana, sir. My question to you, Mr. Sata, is if you became president, how are you going to address the excessive executive powers of the president, which, in my opinion, hinder any kind of progress in the country? Thank you.
First of all, the president has no excessive powers. The thing is, Zambians are not involved in anything today in Zambia. And if Zambians are not involved in anything, you think that the president has excessive powers. You see, when Zambians becomes involved, if Zambians become involved, there will be no question the president is going to have access for power. But it's because now when you find that people, there is no activities which is going on, they behave like they are all waiting for the president to make a decision.
Could you elaborate on you? Yes. Could you elaborate when you say Zambians are not involved in anything?
What we are saying is, the English say, the people who pay the piper plays the tune.
Mm.
At the moment, it is not possible for Zambians to decide, because before independence, I was a young man before independence. And when I was a young man before independence, when we were fighting for independence, we had the black people, the Asian community. We were discriminated. We were discriminated in those days. But even today, we are all still discriminated. Because the Asian community, the black community, they watch the Chinaman come here, come and take the money. and take the money back to China. And we still have the discrimination where if you want to find the Asian community, you find them in Kamwala. Or if you go to Ndoa, there is an Asian area. But what we need is, let's look at the people who have built Zambia. Let's look at people who have made Zambia to be what it is. And once you do that, we have many people of high integrity. We have many people who understand this country and who have the capacity better than some of these so-called foreign investors.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Let's go to area code. I believe this is Francis 770. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Mr. Michael Sata. My name is Francis Chanda in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Georgia is morning, in Zambia is afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. My question is in relation to the educational policy of PF. What are your plans to transform our educational system so that it imparts more skills to people or to young ones than just going through the academics? Why I'm saying this is
Zambia has the education policy. Now, when you have the education policy or policy on anything, you can only achieve that if you are in control of your own resources. Because when you are doing the budget is in two sides, in two parts. One part unproductive and one part productive. Education, health, personal emoluments is unproductive. If you don't have money to control the income you are receiving from taxes, is only going to pay wages for the ministers, for permanent secretaries, and all others with the boards. But once you have a properly organized system, you have your own money, you are not even fighting to say you want to win for tax or whatever you call it, you'll be able to say if you want quality education. For example, this country needed after independence. We had quality education. And you people are phoning me, who are in Atlanta, wherever you are. You benefited from the original quality education, because otherwise you would have not left Zambia to go to Atlanta, Georgia. And what we want to do is the best asset, the first investment Zambia needs is the Zambians themselves. Once you bring dignity and integrity to the Zambians, everything will be flowing like water.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to Canada. Please go ahead with your question.
How many more questions have you got to go?
How long do you want us to? We only have 30 minutes, sir. How much time can you give us?
You only have 30 minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that okay?
You mean that the whole program is 30 minutes?
No, we started at 15, we end at 16, sir.
All right.
Okay,
let's go ahead.
Canada. President Sata, my name is Roger Charlie from Alberta, Canada. I have a few questions here, very quick ones. The diaspora have become of age. You sent us here to be educated, and I think we have the knowledge we want to contribute to our nation. Would you consider to appoint any one of us as cabinet ministers in your new cabinet? That's my first question. The next question is power from Lusaka. Yourself, President Sata, you have lived most of your time in Lusaka, and we believe the problem Zambia has is not because we don't have intelligent presidents or intelligent people, but because there is no local control. Who do you consider taking away a lot of power from Lusaka to the people in the district? And my last question is, what are you doing to prepare the nation? Should President Banda refuse to leave office when he loses, what are you doing to prepare the country? Thank you.
Well, first of all, I start with the last question. If Banda doesn't want to leave leave the office if he loses. I'll leave it to the Zambia. I'm not an anarchist. Now, you are even so proud of saying we educated you, and instead of saving us, you go and stay in Canada. I totally agree with you on your second question. Kaunda had an idea when he was saying going to back to the land, but that's not our thinking. Our thinking in PF is, let the people in Mpika decide how they are going to develop Mpika. The only way they can do that, give them power and money. Remove the district commissioner who has no money, because the roads which we are using today in rural areas were roads which were served by district commissioners, proper district commissioners, not politically appointed people. And what we need, first of all, is to create attractive conditions so that you, Mr.
Roger
Canada, can find
Roger
means and ways of coming back to Zambia.
I want to be Minister of Local
and
Government.
And be accommodated in Zambia, Mr. Yes. I'm saying the reason is people who are educated by poor people's money, they go and hide themselves in developed countries, shows there is lots of weaknesses which we have to create. We have to bridge those weaknesses. We have to cure those weaknesses.
Thank you, sir. Let me take another question here before we proceed with our discussion. Area code 486, the last four digits are 7828.
Yes, it's Richard Mbewe from Warsaw in Poland.
Go ahead, Dr. Mbewe.
Yes, I would like to make a just simple comment and then one or two questions. The first comment, I disagree with you, President Sata, that the fact is that a weak currency is good for the economy as it fosters exports. That is why the Chinese keep their currencies lower than the dollar, the euro. Just 6 months ago, we had a situation where there were currency wars between the United States and the European Union over the fact that the Chinese exchange rate was so low. So I don't think it is wrong for Zambia to keep its currency lower, because that helps Zambian exports to be attractive to the international market. But then I agree with you when you say that we are exporting and the money is not coming back to Zambia. And that is why I've always been criticizing the government of President Rupia Banda, and especially Finance Minister Dr. Stumbeko Musokotwane, the fact that he has not introduced the withholding tax when it comes to the mines. Because this is the only money we can get back from the Zambian copper, especially that they had signed the agreements whereby they do not tax these people. Thirdly, I disagree with you, Nathan, that we don't need $500,000 to set up a business in Zambia. I was there in June. For you to set up now in Zambia, you just need $1,300. Okay, to add the extra cost of registration of the status and so on, everything comes to $1,500, and you are in business. Yeah. The 500,000, you need it only if you want tax exemptions from the ZDA and the Ministry of Commerce and Industry. So my question is to President Sata, how are you going to improve the situation in 90 days? This is what your party has been saying. What are you going to do? What legislature are you going to put in office? Then, 47 years after independence, you cannot blame the British, Indians, Chinese for our situation, our predicament. If you leave your mouth wide open, please don't blame the flies. Don't blame the flies for playing in it. Therefore, President Sata, what are you going to make a change? What difference are you going to do from what President Banda is doing now? What legislation are you going to put in place so that in 90 days everything is beautiful, everybody is employed, Zambia is earning billions from the exports of copper and so on? Thank you very much.
Mr. Mbewe, I sympathize with you. You are a Mr. Mbewe, and I don't expect you to think beyond your name as Mbewe. I totally agree with you. A weak currency encourages export where there is competition. But our currency has nothing to do with our export. So, Mr. Mbewe, please, that theory whichever university you went to, keep it to yourself. Because the currency in Zambia has nothing to do with our export. We don't know how much we export. We don't know how much we earn from our export. Therefore, our weaker currency has not contributed. Now, when you are talking of 90 days, I have been in government. A number of things which is inhibiting us, a number of things which is inhibiting us at the moment is all you need by the stroke of the pen, by the stroke of the pen, the money will come to Zambia. And if the money comes to Zambia, and many people have benefit of that money, they will need to employ more people. So it is very simple, Mr. Mbewe. You don't even need 90 days. At the stroke of the pen on inauguration day, change Akai clause. And once you change the Akai clause, you are in business. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, sir, we are here. I like the expression, Mr. President, you are using by the stroke of the pen. Please correct me if I'm wrong here. I understand by the stroke of the pen, the dual citizenship clause doesn't need to go through a constitution process. By the stroke of the pen, through an amendment bill in parliament, we can have dual citizenship.
First of all, when a person is suffering from a complex, it's only people who are suffering from a complex who are crying for dual citizenship. I don't have a complex. And as I don't have a complex, my children were born in England. They are not British. And the reason why you want dual citizenship, you want to have it both ways. You want to be an American or Canadian and Zambian at the same time, where you go, wherever it suits you. Our Mr. Piggy had a song one time, you call a lot of Mwereko to Alola. What we like to do is let Zambia compete in the world economy, in the world business, in the world politics like anybody else. This question of dual citizenship is not the answer. Dual citizenship shows the complex when you suffer from a complex. That's why you want to have half American, half British. So I don't believe in that. And it's not necessary to Zambia.
So what is PF's policy on dual citizenship, sir?
First of all, we have not reached that. When we arrive at the river, then we start thinking of how are we going to cross that bridge, that river. For the time being, why you people who are abroad are looking for dual citizenship? You want to have it both ways. What about your grandparents who are in Chinsali? Or Petaro, where that Mbewe come from? Are they going to benefit from that dual citizenship? Let us improve the economy. Let us improve our education facilities, our medical facilities, and everything. Once we do that, life becomes much easier. Life becomes much, much easier.
Okay. You are giving me, sir, the impression that the potential investment which would come from diaspora residents does not count in the policy of your party.
I'm saying, first of all, you who are in Atlanta, you yourself, before you even bring in a dollar, you are the number one investment we need. If we bring the doctors, we bring the teachers, we bring the economists, we bring all the Zambians of Asian origin, Zambians of European origin, because, for example, today, the captain of the Springboks is a Zambian. If you go all over the world, you go, the cricket in India, the person who is there is a Zambian. And when do we respect all these people, if they come to Zambia, they are going to bridge the quality which we need and the enhancement of Zambia. Because this question of Americans, it's only Americans with the dual who are confused. Those are the Americans who would like to have dual citizenship. But this is your own country, and if it's your own country and you are proud of this country, why should you have two passports? What we need is, let us give you the opportunity. And once we give you the opportunity, the sky is the limit.
The current government has what they call a diaspora desk at State House. What will PF do with that?
Why do you create a diaspora desk at State House? You people are there, you belong to Zambia. Why should you have a desk? The Zambians who are abroad, they are abroad because of unacceptable conditions in Zambia, because you are treated like nothing. That's why you decide to go and be abroad. Why do we create because already in the United Nations, there is that desk for immigration, encouraging people to immigrate back to. But you are a Zambian, and as you are a Zambian, let us create conditions where you can walk in your own house. You don't need a permit to walk in your own house and walk out in your own house. By creating a desk at State House, we want you to give you a permit. We don't need to give you a permit.
Okay.
This is your home. You belong here, and you should feel proud. You should feel proud to bring your friend to come and see what's happening in Zambia.
Absolutely. Area code 818. Go ahead.
This is Marama from Los Angeles. I just want to... Good afternoon, President Sada.
Hello.
Yeah, first of all, I want to make a comment. Nathan, you don't need to be a dual citizen in order to invest in Zambia. There is already laws in place that can allow you to invest as if you're not a dual citizen. But my question to Mr. Sata is this. Here in America and everywhere abroad, we have a lot of Zambians who send money every day, every month to help their families. And if anybody who sends money to support his family has some money to invest. But our biggest problem is we don't have that faith in our financial institutions to say, if I start saving money in, say, Commerce Bank or whatever bank it is, by the time I get there, it might be closed. So what financial policies do you have in place to capture at least the money that people here might have to invest back home, so that at least we are guaranteed that our money is safe?
In 1964, Zambia was ignorant of everything. In 2011, Zambia is exposed. First of all, we know what will make you attract anybody who would like to invest in Zambia. That's why we say lower taxes. Lower taxes all over the world. That's why you even have tax havens. Because taxation all over the world, if you go to America, every budget taxation is number one. If you go to Britain, in every budget taxation is there. If you go to Europe, taxation is there. And if you are going to invest here, no businessman wants to pay tax. They want to pay a predictable tax where they are not being penalized. Then they come and invest. So we don't need to go and look for a dictionary or an encyclopedia to tell us how to make money. Because 47 years of independence or 46 years of independence, we have so many governments, so many successful governments whom we can pick the best policies. And those policies, you people, you'll be fighting to come back to Zambia. There'll be no space on aeroplanes to bring you back to Zambia.
That is good. Thank you, Francis. Let's allow a lady here. We haven't heard from many of our ladies ask a question. Elizabeth, please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. President. Is it good afternoon?
In Zambia, good afternoon and good morning wherever you are calling me from.
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
The Nyanjas in their own short vocabulary, they say,
My name is Elizabeth Sichinga. I'm one of the notorious from the notorious Chinga clan. Now my question is my question to you, sir, is in relation to I'm also always very passionate about women and children, and I find that most of the times they tend to be to fall in the category of the vulnerable, just like the disabled. As if you had to go into office, do you have any specific programs that will target or enhance the status of women and children? Because when you talk poverty, the highest poverty levels in percentage are amongst this target group, and most of the times they are the ones found in rural areas. So if we're going to develop rural areas, I think they should not be forgotten.
Have you finished?
I just wanted to know if you have any specific programs that will target children. If you are finished, there are two sides.
And there are two sides to your question. In where I come from and where you come from, we are neighbors. SNP Kula Mpanga. So any country which has no policy for the children, it's not a country at all. So the children, when you are talking about education and all other skills, you remember Kenneth Kaunda tried when he found that we had shortage of things. He brought in ZNS where he thought that they could get some to become artisans. And when I went in South Korea, I liked the South Korea policy because the South Korean policy, at the second, when you go into secondary, there is the academic area and the artisan area. Now, when we are looking at women, I don't look at women as separate organizations. The women are a contributor to the economy of any nation like any other human being. The difference in sex is not the answer. What you need, if you provide the incentives, if you provide all what is required, for example, my wife is a consultant at UTH. Now, if she's a consultant at UTH, why should she be ferried to South Africa and living in her own hospital? Now, so you find that the education for women must be enhanced. And once you enhance the education for women, both in rural areas and urban centers, then you have taken care of that one. Because once you educate them, if you educate one woman, you educate a nation. If you educate one man, this doesn't make any difference. But anyway, women, disabled, and children, they will have more emphasis on them for their, because they need more protection than it is at the moment.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Miss, I have two questions from Facebook for you, sir. One is from Chizara Nkama. He says, in relation to the recent Nyimba bus fatal traffic accident, would the PF, if elected, consider exploring a temporal, permanent, or death insurance on all passenger service vehicles traveling inter-province or out of Zambia in order to put more responsibility on coach proprietors?
The point is, we are drifting back in what we have passed through. During Kenneth Kaunda's reign, we had a spate of traffic accidents. And it was again on Eastern, on Great East Road, going to Chipata, when there was a very fatal accident involving a bus. He appointed the Professor Mwanalusi's commission, and the recommendations of Professor Mwanalusi are still there. We all know about them. First of all, as one chief said, the conditions of our roads must be looked at, because that road was built by the Italian a long time ago, and we have never looked at it. The vehicles, as the chief said, the models are changing. They are becoming much faster than they were when they built that road. So you find that those are all the social aspects which we have to look at, because no investor would like to go to a country where too many accidents. Because if you have too many accidents, the insurance rates will go higher than they are at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But those are a number of things which we have to look at, because at the moment, the police the logistics, they have the police, the money which the police have, the maintenance of our roads, and a number of other things which we have to look at. That's why all of you, you have something to do. You have to come back to Zambia and come and help build Zambia. Don't remain there and leave other people to build Zambia for you so that you can just come and enjoy.
Okay. The next question is from Mr. Nawa Siwongo. He says you were part of MMD for the first 10 years. You were late President Chiluba's right-hand man. What are you going to do now that you didn't do then?
Tell Mr. Chiluongo, that young man, I defeated his father when in UNIP. I stood with his father. I even went to buy everything in his father's shop. And at least he has said rightly to say I worked for Chiluba for 10 years. It is that experience. Because I was not fired like Rupia Banda. I resigned. I want to come and utilize that. I've never... He said correctly, I was with Chiluba.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also, I can assist him, I was with Kenneth Kaunda. But I've never been president. Now, this time, as president, I'll see the shortcomings which our colleagues have been doing. So we'll do much better than Mr. Swong. And Mr. Swong will be the first person to come. I still know where his father's shop is.
Mm. Okay, Mr. Sibongo, you heard for yourself. Sir, as we are winding up our discussion, I'm looking at your party manifesto here. One of the contentious issues in our country's short history of 47 years is the issue of the Electoral Act. And your manifesto proposes that Parliament should appoint the Electoral Commission officers. How is that going to change the operation of the Electoral Commission of Zambia?
At the moment, the Electoral Commission of Zambia falls under the Vice President's office. And if it falls under the Vice President's office, is a more of a parastatal than an independent organization. Because if you are in America, if you are in South Africa, if you are in Sierra Leone, Obama was elected in America. If he had an Electoral Commission like what we have in Zambia, there would be no Obama there today. If you go to South Africa, Zuma, under too much controversy, which was in South Africa, if you had a commission like what is in Zambia, he would not be there. But what we need, the reason why we have to strengthen all the institutions, including Parliament, when we strengthen all the institutions, including Parliament, because at the moment, Parliament, people go there, our Parliament is not like the American Congress. The American Congress, the legislation does not come from government. It comes from individual congressmen and individual senators. Our parliament in Zambia, the legislation comes from government, and these are the things which we have to change. So if the government takes ECZ, parliament goes to other countries. But we want to make sure the parliament itself make it independent, make the MPs independent, let them contribute to the strength and dignity of this country.
Would you, in that case, then, are you implying that you would consider appointing cabinet ministers from outside parliamentarians?
What I'm trying to say, our democracy as it is, in the first one of the questions which you had, you are giving me excessive powers of the president. And this side of the world as we are, appointing a cabinet outside parliament, what will stop me appointing my relatives and friends? Let the people choose, give me the people from whom I'm going to give the responsibility, not going to street in Cairo to pick my relatives and friends. What we have to do is to strengthen our democratic tendencies, our democratic principle, which has been eroded at the moment. For example, when Rupia Banda came, he fired 16 permanent secretaries. He has appointed all people from Eastern Province who are permanent secretaries. Now, those people cannot function independently. They cannot function independently. They owe their allegiance to the president. And you find on those places, previously, during Kenneth Kaunda, we had this commission. Are they functioning the way they're supposed to function? Because if you have the Civil Service or Public Service Commission, if the president appoints 16 permanent secretaries, then that the Civil Service Commission becomes irrelevant. You have Police and Prison Commission. When you have Police and Prison Commission, and the president endorses Mr. Kabonde and all the commanders who are retired and he gives them contracts, then that makes that commission irrelevant. So what we need to do is, let us be bold enough. We should be corrected. Because we are scared of being corrected. We are scared of being given people to work with. That's why the president can maintain people who retired, the Army commander retired, the Air Force commander retired, ZNS officer retired. Everybody who are in defense and security, they are all retired personnel. If you go to judiciary, you go everywhere, you find there's a... And I want to inform you that me, I was born a fighter. In the last spell of 3 months, I have won 3 cases in a very difficult situation in Zambia. I have won a case about Chanda Chimba. I'm sure you people in the... You people abroad, you have seen Chanda Chimba on your ZNBC. I have won a case against Ron Shikapwasha when he was talking about homosexual, and I don't believe in it. And yesterday, I won a case against the Times and the Daily Mail for them that they should not be making falsehoods. So at least if you like they say in the Bible, knock, it shall be opened unto you to continue fighting.
We have 8 minutes remaining. Let me ask. Let me read a question from a friend here, Bwalia Chilea. She's asking, what is the PF's plan to complete the rewriting of the constitution to reflect the will of the Zambian people?
First of all, we Zambians must be very ashamed. We must be very, very ashamed because the people of Zambia are not comfortable with the constitution. When I was in government, we attempted with the Manakati Constitution, but as we attempted with the Manakati Constitution, Zambians still saw some loopholes or some potholes in that constitution. Levi Mwanawasa was a very sincere person. He wanted us to have a new constitution, but you have Mr. George Kunda, who is supposed to be a lawyer, who wanted to make money out of the constitution. He abandoned the normal way of doing things in the Commonwealth. He abandoned the Constitutional Commission on Review and brought in NCC. When the Americans had the Constitutional Review Commission, when the Americans had the Constitutional Conference, it took a different avenue than what George Kunda suggested. What George Kunda suggested, George Kunda just wanted to make money out of the so-called Constitutional Commission because it did not have the ingredients which the Constitutional Conference of the Americans had. So, to answer your question is, we need a constitution which will protect you and me and those unborn children, protect industry, protect business, and protect everybody. And once you have a strong constitution, the theory where they are saying that the president has more power will not be there. The constitution will spell, for example, in America, you know that the fourth year, on 4th November, there will be an election. There is no question of relying on the president deciding when he's going to call an election. So I totally agree. We need a new constitution which will spell out what we require to be done.
Mr. Sata, what is so difficult about privatizing Daily Mail, Times of Zambia, ZNBC? We find it easy to give away the mines, but we still hold on to newspapers like that. When I say privatization, I'm not talking about giving it to the foreigners.
No, what I'm saying, there is nothing impossible to privatize the media.
Yes.
Kaunda nationalized the media because in his opinion, he thought the media was very hostile. And then when he privatized it, it wasn't a vuvuzela as it is now, vuvuzela, because the current media under Mr. Pierre Banda is more of an MMD spokesperson. But first of all, if we go back to what you are saying, you the Zambians, locally and abroad, you want business. That's one other business where you should get involved. You have seen the Post is doing very well. And I don't see why you Zambians should not own those the media. The ZNBC is not a, BBC is not as bad as ZNBC. But again, this is the job insecurity. The people are in ZNBC, and if they don't follow what Madame Dolas Villa says, they might be fired because there is no job security.
Absolutely. Good question. Mr. President, as we conclude, what should we, how should the diaspora expect to work with the PF government? Are you going to engage us?
All I'm saying is all Zambians are very ashamed to be outside Zambia. When you went to school, doesn't matter how you went to school, you went to come and help your own country. Unfortunately, your own country has neglected you. Your own country has abandoned you. So what we need, not a question of to work with us, is we need all of you. Because if all of you came back, the education quality is going to improve. Our health quality is going to improve. We have better health buildings than what is in South Africa. Because when I go to Milpark Hospital and I go to UTH, UTH has more better infrastructure than Milpark Hospital. But it lacks manpower and equipment. So you people, wherever you are not going to criticize from a distance. You are going to come to Zambia and get involved and help me how to build this country. Because this is your country, not my country alone.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. President, there are a few weeks remaining before elections. Can we hear some good campaign rather than people insulting each other and then blaming the young Patrick Manawasa for being disrespectful, and yet the elders are the ones setting the example?
Look, empty hands are always tempted. An empty vessel makes lots of noise. We have too many issues to talk about. We have no time for insulting anybody. And when we tell them the truth that people are suffering, if they think that's an insult, we can't help it. We say people are unemployed and they think it's an insult, we can't help it. As far as PF is concerned, we don't need to insult anybody. We are not like Doris Villa. We speak the truth. And you know, you people have gone to school, studied slightly longer at school. They say the truth is more painful than being stabbed by a knife. So I totally agree with you. We don't even believe in using human beings fighting against each other. We believe in speaking the truth and the truth, nothing but the truth. And this is the thing which is worrying our brother. And you have seen that PF, not even talking about the foreign parentage, it is his great friend, Frederick Chiluba, who brought in foreign parentage because he wanted to stop Kenneth Kaunda from recontesting the seat, and he removed the chiefs because he was scared of Chief Winyambo. And me, when somebody accused me to say I come from Tanzania, I took that person to court. He's with me now, Mr. William Sander. And I proved in court that they were lying. I'm not from Tanzania, I'm from Mpika. Katioka and William Sander. They went to the president and said, Michael said it's from Tanganyika. William Sander even said he's going to give me a bus. I said, before you give me a bus, let's go to court. We went to court. And if Pia Banda, I don't know why he hasn't taken Milton Piri to court to go and prove that Milton Piri is a liar. But all the same, thank you very much. It's a long time I last spoke to you. And I remember this Madam Sichinga. She might be related to me now because my daughter is married to one of the Sichingas. Thank you very much. I will talk to you again another day.
Your final words, sir. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, I'm saying that, for example, you people, you are abroad. You care about us. And as you said, why should ZNBC give me the same opportunity as you are giving me? Why doesn't the Times of Zambia give me the same opportunity? Why doesn't the Daily Mail give me the same opportunity? Because your task is to inform, entertain, and educate. And if this media can do this, if you have got enough experience to come and run ZNBC, You have enough experience to come and run the Times of Zambia and Daily Mail. Just start looking after the money, because there's a newspaper which you are going to own very short and compete with Freddie Mendes.
Thank you, sir. Have a good afternoon, and we wish you the best on September 20th.
Same thing to you. Bye-bye.
Natotera. When we're taking a break, that was PF President Mr. Michael Sata. It looks like I've got a job, Roger.
You have 100.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I talk to Jenny?
This is Jenny.
Jenny, have you heard of the new phone card that everybody's talking about?
No. What is it called?
It's called Paradigm Calling Card.
Paradigm?
Yes, Jenny. Paradigm Calling Card. It's an international chip phone card.
Okay. Now, how can I get it?
Not a problem, Jenny. Call customer service at 1-877-777-3118 or go online on www.mytalkphone.com or sign up today and get a free $5 Paradigm Calling Card. There are no connection fees, no maintenance fees, no hustle, no hidden fees, Jenny. And a friend referral gets you another $5 calling card.
I better go get this. Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
That's an international chip calling card for you to call countries like Zambia, Kenya, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Ghana, Senegal, Malawi, and Tanzania, etc., etc., all throughout the world.
Okay, you are listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. That was Mr. Michael Sata, PF President, Zambia's largest opposition party leader. I think you heard for yourself. That's the reason we brought him. And you can make your own predictions and assessment. We are switching gears here to Business Forum. Please, if you've got any comments or anything that you'd like to say about the show with our discussion with Mr. Sata, you can go to our Facebook page, Zambia Blog Talk Radio, and post your comments there. Roger.
Thank you, Nassan, for a great show, and all the Zambians who joined us this morning. A great show today. It's a special day as we spoke to Mr. Michael Sata, the leader of the largest opposition party in Zambia. And we are launching a new show, Voices of Anakaze, by Yareka Muhango from California. And before time comes, we have a business forum this morning. We are going to be joined by Mr. Robert Morris. Morris is an environmental solutions group, LLC, and we will be speaking to him. He has a special technology which he's going to discuss with us. If brought to Zambia, it will allow the Zambians to do, I think, things in a much more efficient way. Let me not waste time and maybe introduce Mr. Morris. Mr. Morris, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for this opportunity.
You are very, very welcome. And let me just tell our listeners for what you have done. 45 years of professional experience in sales, marketing, transportation, and environment products, technologies, and services. 15 years experience with environmental technologies. You were the exporter of the year 1999 for environmental technologies. We are going to learn about that. Mr. Morris, please tell our listeners this morning what your company or organization does.
In 2004, we were introduced to a person in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa, named Christopher White. And Mr. White had an idea about converting the landfill problems in Pietermaritzburg into a beneficial solution where they would stop polluting the air, stop taking in excessive waste and burying it, converting as much as possible into useful byproducts. Since 2004, we've evolved into a variety of technologies that reduce what enters the landfill, which saves a lot of rand or money, takes away the airspace that you otherwise would have taken up, which requires management. And we've adopted a number of technologies, and the most recent, which was of very big interest to the ambassador when she was visiting here in January, was the ability to take local soil, clay soil, and manufacture 19 kilos or 40-pound blocks, solid blocks, for low-cost housing. In addition to this, I was very surprised to learn that Zambia is larger than Texas, and only 65% of your agriculturally available land is not being used. Mr. White has been very helpful in developing a technology that takes market waste and green waste and clean agricultural waste and converts it into a organic fertilizer that replaces most or all of chemical fertilizers that have a 10 times cost over what we can manufacture. In addition to these, Mr. White has been instrumental in helping us develop technologies that would take waste wood and waste plastic and convert them into materials that look like wood so we can use them in the housing industry for door frames and window frames. We've recently uncovered a technology that takes sand and waste plastic and makes very nice Spanish tile-like material for roofing tiles. We've set up an e-waste to dismantle harmful computers and e-waste materials and put them into a more useful byproduct. We've taken polystyrene collection and removed 600 tons of waste polystyrene from landfills in South Africa, which would save 12,000 cubic meters of space per year. We're looking at various waste-to-energy technologies. We're finding that most of them are very expensive and don't give you a very good return, but we found a couple that are less expensive and have a responsible return. We've been able to reduce 2,000 tons of rubber tires in the city of Durban into granular rubber or fuel for a cement plant. We have hydrocarbon remediation in soil and water. We can convert oil sludge into a low-grade bunker C fuel in a storage tank, in a pipeline or a ship hold, allowing the proprietor of that facility to recover the storage space. And I guess overall land management of the landfill and the conversion of waste into useful byproducts, we found that this creates about 31 jobs per 10,000 tons of waste that we handle. And the block-making process will create somewhere between 35 and 50 jobs per set of equipment. That's a thumbnail.
Oh, yeah, sounds good. We'll be going through, I think, everything you've explained. When you talk about low cost, please give us some kind of a perspective we should look at this when you're talking at low cost. What would be a difference if someone used a traditional way of making blocks and if they came to your engineering or your solutions, what would be the difference in cost?
Well, essentially, or at this time, the city of Durban is paying about 86,000 rand or about $12,000 to build a 40-square-meter home. They have a mandate to build about 6 million in all of South Africa. We estimate, and we've proven in some cases, that we can build a 50-square-meter home, which would be two bedrooms, a living area, a bathroom indoors, and a kitchen preparation area for about $7,000. I haven't converted that to rand, but instead of 12,000, we're down to 7,000 with 10 extra square meters in the home. 40 square meters is a very small home, and 50 gives you a little bit more room to have a living area, maybe another bedroom, to put the toilet inside. We've also been asked by a major developer in South Africa to build a demonstration house for them of 268 square meters and leave it on site where they're going to build 6,000 estate homes for a two-year period so people can come and see it. The cost of a cement block or a cinder block or a hollow breeze block, they are similar materials, is around $1 U.S. In Nigeria, the cost has gone from 83 cents U.S. to about $1.20 because the cost of cement has skyrocketed in this last year. We have a base cost using local supplies and local clay soils of 10 cents per 40-pound or 19-kilo block. Each block is about 25 by 35 by 10 centimeters in size, and the 10 centimeters can be adjusted between 2.5 and 4 inches depending on what you want for that particular house. If we add the cost of overhead and the amortization cost for funds to purchase the equipment, the maximum cost per the block is between 25 and 30 cents. So if the world market for cement blocks is in the area of $1 to $1.20, we are between 40 and 50% below the cost of a cinder cement block. Our blocks have a insulation value, which if you've ever been inside a large stone building on a hot day, you notice that it's cooler inside. What has happened is the coolness of the evening has been absorbed by the block, stored in the block, and when it gets warm on the inside of the building during the heat of the day, the cool migrates in and keeps the home or the house cooler than it would have been without a this what they call a mass and a U factor. The mass, U, and R factor of our soil blocks is between 30 and 36. A cinder block or a cement block has a insulation value somewhere between 3 and 5. So we're about 10 times better in efficiency of cooling the inside of the home on a hot day. If you were to double your cost and add 30 cents to give you a selling price of 60 cents per soil block, if you were thinking of commercializing the process, and our equipment is designed to manufacture 7,000 to 9,000 blocks a day. But let's be conservative and say we only do 5,000 blocks a day, because teamwork is critical, rain happens, something happens every day to slow you down. It's just a fact of life. So at 5,000 blocks per day, at 30 cents per block, you're going to generate about $1,500 U.S. per day. If you were to extend that out, say, and work 312 days a year, allowing for Sundays and holidays as non-working days, this would generate approximately $400,000 per year in gross margin. This means that the entire set of equipment, three major pieces of equipment, can be more than paid for in 200 working days. The use of our blocks for a 40 square meter home would take about 2,200 to 2,500 blocks. On a 50 square meter home, we're looking closer to 3,000 blocks. So at 60 cents a block, and you were going to use 3,000 blocks, you're looking at about total cost for all the blocks of about $1,800. Then you're going to add wood frames, window frames, door frames, glass, plumbing, flooring, a slab. In the case of South Africa, the city of Durban requires a cement slab. We are petitioning them to allow us to use blocks as the basis of the slab, and then filling the spaces between the blocks with cement, and then putting an inch of cement on top. This would reduce the cost of the slab from $1,300, which they're now paying, to about $300, an additional savings in building a very substantial, low-cost house for those people who cannot afford the estate homes.
All right. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. I have a lot of my friends here, and our contributor and patron, Dr. Patrick Wilson in North Carolina. Dr. Wilson, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you are listening, and I'll let you come in as we go. I will invite you. You're taking notes, I know. Mr. Morris, these materials, I want to get this picture straight. Is it being used already? Is this technology being used in South Africa, or it's going to be used?
No, we installed a year ago last May. We installed the equipment in Durban at a place called Giba Gorge, which is near the Marion Hill Toll Plaza to the northwest of Durban, just off the freeway. And it took us about 5,000 blocks using various different local soil combinations to learn what South African and Durban soils meant to our process. Teamwork to prepare the soils, to blend the soils, to learn about the soils is so very important. I cannot stress it enough. So we're not going to walk in and say, use that soil, you'll make a perfect block today, because it's not true. It's going to take, for instance, it took our Mexican client 14 months to manufacture the first 1,000,000 blocks. But now they have a team set up to prepare the day before, to sort the soil, to blend the soil, to sift it, to get it ready for preparation and use the next day. Then the next team comes in and uses that soil while the first team is preparing the following day's soil.
This very technology, Mr. Morris, how much investment does it require?
You're going to be looking, well, there's so very many options. You know, we have a 10 cubic yard per hour mixer. We have a 20 cubic yard per hour mixer. We have two compression machines. We have a very small compression machine that churches and small villages prefer to use because it'll do 200 or 300 blocks per hour, or our larger machine will do 350 to 400 blocks per hour. So there's a lot of variables that go into it, but the minimum investment for the smaller machine would be somewhere in the $40,000 to $45,000 area, and the maximum on the full set of two compression, one soil mixer, heavy-duty conveyors, a year's spare parts, and training. Training is mandatory. We won't give you your equipment until you've been properly trained. We were looking probably between $275,000 and $300,000 with the variables yet to be determined.
Okay. So at the most, we are talking about $300,000?
I would say so, yes. We've had one customer that wanted to bill us more because he wanted the freight included, ocean and land. Mm-hmm. He wanted to allow for VAT and custom duties. So, like I say, there's so many variables, it's difficult to pin a price down until we know what your conditions and your requirements are.
Mm-hmm. Nations like ourselves in Zambia, unlike here in North America where we are, access to credit is a non-existent. Do you in any way provide some kind of channel people which can help people buy technology like this one?
We can take a look at that. What we did in Ghana, this will give you a rough idea, is we found a company that had a substantial business that was in existence.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Nelson wanted to build a what he called a hostel. It was a 120-room dormitory for a church foundation that he worked with.
Yeah.
He went to Barclays Bank in Accra, and Barclays, fortunately, was owned by Barclays London. Since he had a relationship with the bank, he was able to go and get a 12-month letter of credit from them. He used it to purchase equipment. He by the time he is able to install and operate the equipment would take about 4 months. And then he still had 8 months more of learning and manufacturing. He could then either apply for an Ex-Im Bank loan, which he more than qualified for because he was a substantial company with resources, and he would stand for the loan, and he had profits that he could prove in writing. Then the difficult thing about Ex-Im Bank is it's about 4 months of rigorous paperwork, but he can get a 6 to 7% interest rate for a five-year loan if he meets all the qualifications. That would give him time to apply for the loan from Ex-Im Bank to pay it off, and instead of being paying 16 to 25% interest, he's now paying 6. And within a year's time, he's able to be building his dormitory and making a profit on all the other blocks that he's manufacturing on a local basis. There's ways to do it. We just have to take a look at it.
All right. Let me allow Dr. Patrick, if you have a comment or a question to ask Mr. Morris this morning. Mr. Morris has some good technology here. We have been promoting rural districts in Zambia on our program here, and we know our people